Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, the primary election is a little more than a week away, and the conversation about voting security is front and center. Within the last couple of weeks, Senator Bill Nelson announced that Russian operatives have penetrated some county voter registration databases. Also within the last couple of weeks, it was the story of an 11-year-old hacking into a replica of Florida's elections website. So how safe is our system? Also, what will turnout be like this year? Midterms usually have a low turnout, but is this year's election different? Well, we spoke earlier today with Christina White, the supervisor of elections for Miami-Dade, and we started with those comments that came from Senator Nelson.
I want to make sure that our voters are feeling very confident about voting in the 2018 election cycle. I hope they always felt confident and will continue to feel confident. My department, and I know I speak for all of the supervisors of elections around the state, we are committed to ensuring the ongoing security of the voting process. Of course, I am very aware of the comments that have been made, but my county, nor any county that I'm aware of in the state, has had any indication of or has been notified of a possible or actual compromise of election systems in the state of Florida.
What about the recent allegations that 275, at least 275 ineligible felons voted in 2016? What can you tell us about that?
Well, in the state of Florida, the process for removing felons from the voter registration database is one that originates at the state of Florida. So if a person is convicted of a felony, that information is provided to the state. The state will then provide that to the requisite supervisor of elections. And then there's a process that we have to follow. We have to notify the voter, give them an opportunity to dispute that information if it wasn't them or inaccurate. And then afterwards, we go ahead and remove them. So is it possible that these people had committed a felony prior to the election? Yes, it is. But those people were properly on the voter rolls for that specific election. They were removed timely as the department was required to do so.
Let me throw another one at you. You know this story as well. Within the last couple of weeks, there was this hackathon, and there was a story about an 11-year-old that breaks into a system that mimics Florida's system. And actually, it wasn't just one. It was quite a few kids. These were 8 to 16-year-olds. What should we make of that?
Well, a couple of things. To my knowledge, and I wasn't personally there, but to my knowledge, it was a replica of a website that was hacked. So when you do a replica of a website, you're actually not able to replicate properly all of the security measures that are in place on that original website. So I think there was a bit of a flaw in even the way that that was described. But another more important point than that is not where the election results are stored. And so the way that all departments around the state tabulate results is through our centralized tabulation system, which is a completely closed network with no internet access, which means that there's no ability to hack or compromise that system. After those results are cumulative and certified and reconciled, that is when they are posted on the various elections departments' websites and on the state website. So even if something like that did actually happen, would it cause chaos? Yes. Would it be confusing to voters because the results that you're seeing aren't actually what they are? Of course, a possibility, but it is not tampering with or affecting the actual election results that we would have here in our centralized tabulation system.
Are the voting systems online when people are voting?
They are not. There is no online or internet connection whatsoever or even to each other. So it's a completely closed network that doesn't have any sort of outside access.
You could see, though, I mean, ever since the 2016 election, there's just been a lot of controversy and scrutiny about our voting system in this country. And then you have these stories. You have the senator saying what he's saying. You have this thing about these kids, all of this stuff. You have to see how that could tear at the confidence people may have in the process. You're confident that there isn't anything to worry about, but how do you help people feel that same confidence?
I know. It's very, very tricky for us because one of my main jobs, aside from tabulating votes accurately and transparently, is to keep voter confidence at an all-time height. And I can tell you that it is very difficult right now because this is all that we're talking about. These seeds of doubt is what is being planted in our voters' minds. So, you know, I take these opportunities to go on the radio and go and talk to the public and try to explain to them that, you know, a couple of very, very important points. We have paper ballots in the state of Florida. That is probably the most important thing that I can tell our voters. Between a backup paper record of our voter registration database that we have available at all of our precincts to ensure that we have accurate voter rolls, and the fact that all of our voters vote on a paper ballot, so if anything were to happen, we have an actual paper record of every single ballot that's been cast, vote that's been cast in this county and in the state. Those two things combined should make our voters feel very confident that at the end of the day, we will be able to continue voting, we will be able to reconcile, and have a paper record of everybody's votes.
We're talking with Christina White, Supervisor of Elections for Miami-Dade County. We're in primary season. The primary election is August 28th. All right, so people have been voting early, but what complaints or concerns have you been hearing about early voting sites or the early voting process?
Well, I'm happy to say I haven't received any complaints so far. We've had a very successful early voting period so far here in the county. We started back on August 13th. Our voters can vote early through August the 26th. We have 20 locations all throughout the county with very convenient hours. And the best thing about early voting is that you can go to any site that you would like, convenient to your home or your work, unlike on election day where you have to go to your specific precinct. So everything has been going well. Turnout has been high, which does show that our voters are energized for this cycle. So it's certainly an opportunity that I encourage our voters to take advantage of. There's really no reason to wait until election day anymore.
Do we know what percentage of voters have already voted early?
Well, between early voting and vote by mail, we have about 8% of our registered voters who have already voted, which is actually quite high for this point in the election for a primary, but it's also quite low. When we talk about a presidential election, we have about 72% voter turnout. In a primary election, it's probably somewhere around 20%. So while we're doing good so far for where we're at in an election, I still need for all of our registered voters to come out and take advantage of one of the three ways to vote and make this a high turnout election.
Where are you telling people about how to find their polling places?
You can find it on your voter information card. You can go onto our website at iamelectionready.org, or you can call 311 in Miami-Dade County and just give us a few, give us your address and we'll tell you your polling place.
Is there a good time of day to make it out to the polling place? I mean, when do you generally see the longest lines?
Usually there's a spike right when polls open at 7 a.m. and then after work. So, you know, between 5 and 7 are going to probably be our heaviest hours. But, you know, again, with so many people taking advantage of early voting or vote by mail, and less people are taking advantage of election day, whatever time works for you between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., I would make sure you come out because that is your last opportunity.
Christina White, again, Supervisor of Elections for Miami-Dade County. As always, a pleasure. Thank you so much. I know it's a busy time for you.
Yes, it is, but I love these opportunities, so thank you very much for having me on.
So how secure is our voting system? Well, I want to turn over now to Tariq Syed, who teaches cybersecurity at the University of Miami Law School and School of Business. Syed believes there are a number of steps the state can take to better secure our election systems from cyber attacks and perhaps consider incorporating new technologies like blockchains. But he's here, so he'll explain that to me. Tariq Syed, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, I mean, let me start with this. I mean, you were listening to the Supervisor of Elections just now, and we were talking about the comments that Senator Bill Nelson had made about Russians have now penetrated some of our systems. We talked about, the story about 11-year-olds breaking into, mock systems of ours. All of these different concerns. You heard what she had to say, but I wanted to hear your take on, do you think that it is secure?
Yeah, so let me start with the hackathon issue, and I agree with the Miami-Dade representative that a simulation will not probably mimic all the security measures that exists in around the system. So they might have had a website. And they just kind of broke into the website and then altered some of the information there, and that's what you would get to display. So if the back-end system is secure and is intact, if it is isolated and it is not connected to the internet, and just like she said, so that makes me feel a lot better about that process. However, the confidence of the voter, when if something like a website that displays the results of the voter gets altered, even if the back-end system is intact, like she expressed, really kind of takes the confidence that the end-to-end process is intact, is integral. You know, so it creates the chaotic effect that she mentioned. Yes, I mean, you still have the original information, but the end-to-end story is flawed.
Your overall take, though, I want to get a sense from you. How secure do you think U.S. voting machines are from cyber attacks? You know, because, I mean, we got the primary election coming up here next week, and the election just a couple of months after that.
I think if the voting machine has any communication device on it, that being a connection to the internet or a connection through a modem, it does have vulnerabilities. The software itself, I mean, there is no way that we can say that something is 100% secure. The software itself can have vulnerabilities. You can plant worms and all kinds of viruses and other things and to spy or to provide access through a communication device if there is one on the voting machine. That could be problematic, and most of the experts in the area would probably say the same. Now, if the machine is completely disconnected, that chances are a lot less. But again, the risk of what is on that machine, hardware and software, scans need to happen on the software, on the machines, in-depth or defense in-depth scans. Need to happen.
What about security clearances for the elections workers?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we talked about, or I had talked about before the interview. And I do think that that's necessary. I mean, this is a national security, a matter of national security. It is on everyone's mind. There are foreign nations and others who are interested in affecting our democratic system. And if it is that important of a national security matter to the whole nation, then the people who have access to these systems, I mean, whether it is the back-end system, the actual system where the votes are tallied, or whether it is the voter registration databases where some people who are not qualified to vote happen to make it and then have to be disqualified again. All these types of systems need to be protected so that access is completely taken away. Not only that, but even the device or the computer that it is accessed from. So phishing attempts. So the computer that you access the mail, your email from, should probably be a different device from accessing those systems from, you know, using a different computer.
There was a report back in February from the liberal-leaning nonprofit Center for American Progress, and they gave Florida a failing grade for election security. Was one of only five states in the country to receive a failing grade. Why is Florida so far behind then, you know, relative to the rest of the U.S.?
I don't know the specifics of the Florida, but again, you hear the officials and they kind of express that they are confident and they are comfortable. And then we hear that there was a break from a senator or from someone else and someone penetrated the election.
You heard from the supervisor of elections just now. She's talking about, well, there is a paper trail.
Yes.
You know, in the world we live in, it's everything is technology. Is it just safer to keep everything on paper?
Well, the paper trail would provide the comfort level that there is a backup in case there is an attack that gets discovered. Then we have the paper trail that we can go back to, and then we do a recount using the paper, assuming that we're not going to have all the other problems of paper counting. So that kind of provide that level of comfort, and I would not put any of the current electronic voting machines without a paper ballot that exists along with the machine. That would be very, very risky given the situation and the hype against around the security and the different grades of F and Ds that we are seeing the states are getting.
Again, I'm talking with Professor Tarek Sayed. He teaches cybersecurity at the University of Miami School of Business and Law School, and we're discussing cyber threats facing Florida's election systems and what steps can be taken to better fortify those systems. All right, so you just returned from a conference in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, focused on the future of blockchain technologies.
And law.
Okay. This is the ledger system used to track Bitcoin transactions, but you argue it could have a place in the voting systems. I mean, let's start with this. Let's just remind people how blockchain works.
So blockchain is a ledger, and every transaction is a block that is chained somehow through, that gets a number, a very large number, 30 digits, and or more. And, you know, that is a hash code. And that hash code represents the transaction. Now, blockchain could be, it's a lot more complicated than this. I'm just trying to kind of make it easier for the listener here. Now, it is secure that the record is immutable. So once you post the transaction, it is immutable, meaning it cannot be changed or altered. And that's the security aspect of blockchain. So from a voting perspective, and that's why you see a lot of the, for example, the conference I was in, the legal transactions, from legal documents to even property recording to all these types of transactions, the industry in general, the legal industry, healthcare is the same thing, as they are the biggest consumer of blockchain, from the electronic health records of patients. The way to secure and to make sure that these documents are secure and cannot be altered unnecessarily.
Is it foolproof, though? There are people who don't think this is a good idea.
There are people who don't think it is a good idea, but I think that that's the technology that now it might not be 100% foolproof, but nothing is.
This comes back to what you just said, because once that transaction's made, it cannot be altered. That's where you think the security is.
That's right.
What about before you get into the system, though? I mean, people, could they alter information, addresses? Could they alter the information before it goes through the system?
Well, the information is not going to get into the system unless it gets in as a blockchain transaction and a ledger on the blockchain ledger.
So how do people feel about this? I mean, is this something that election supervisors, that officials think, okay, let's give it a shot?
I think you should ask the supervisors. I do think that the if you talk to the people who have been working on the blockchain, and the fact that we're designing ledgers, a lot of companies such as Microsoft and Google and others are really advocating and even putting on their clouds blockchain services, so that you can create ledgers. Standardizing ledgers for certain applications, that's something that is going on through different consortiums today. And I think that that's something that people should look at. I mean, they may find that this is not the proper application and, that this is just, but given the status of the state of the technology today, this is a very promising technology to solve some of the problems inherent to the election issue.
So here's one other criticism. I know you've heard this one. Some will say, when you talk about, for example, Bitcoin, blockchain users receive a digital key that's used for their digital address. If this key is lost, a new one can simply be generated. What would happen if voters lost their digital key needing to cast their vote? Would it be simple?
Well, there could be other mechanisms that you can keep track or retrieve the key through other mechanisms through the state.
And of course, the other premise behind blockchain is it requires a decentralization of the system, meaning everyone's able to see the public list of transactions. Do you think governments are open to the level of transparency?
You can see the transaction, but you don't necessarily have to see the details of the transaction. So you see the key of the transaction, but you probably don't have to see the full detail of the transaction.
So right now, what are you hearing from public officials? What are you hearing? I mean, have you heard enough from...
There are a lot of people who are arguing for voting systems using blockchain. And there are, of course, people who are saying it will be very expensive because of the transaction times. The technology is getting better. And more tools and more tokens are being released every day. And I think that the whole world is seeing blockchain as the next upcoming technology to deal with these types of issues. The transaction should get on the blockchain ledger for security and the scalability issues.
Let me just come back to this. Is this, again, this big overall picture? There's just all this, all these stories and all this news about the security of our voting system, and you know whether or not Russians are hacking into that system, if anybody's able to get into that system. But I mean, overall, what do you think? Is our system safe? As we're coming up to an election, this could be a very important election. Is it safe enough?
I think it is safe because we are probably very careful now from everything that is happening. I think that, I mean, you see from the governor to all the officials, everyone is really watching. And I'm sure this the fact that we have a paper trail makes me feel a lot better. I do feel that at some point, states and the federal government should probably put some standards around the standards of the machine, the software, who has access, security clearances. All these issues need to be addressed. If this is, again, a matter that's important to national security, more funding needs to be provided. Exploration of technologies, the standardization among the states of what the standard is for these. And that can happen, I mean, not necessarily by legislation, but it could. I mean, if Congress really decides to do that, I mean, that doesn't mean the states are going to follow. But I think a consortium of the states to discuss these types of problems is probably very helpful.
Again, as Professor Tarek Syed, he teaches cybersecurity in the University of Miami School of Business and Law School. And again, we're talking about cyber threats facing Florida's election systems as we are coming up on the primary next week. And of course, the big general election coming up in November for the midterms. Professor Syed, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And again, as you heard earlier, and we'll have this up on our website, you know, you can go back and listen to Supervisor of Elections, Christina White from Miami-Dade County. She talks about the security. She's confident the system is secure. But what do you think? You've heard this conversation. What do you think? Maybe blockchain, is that the way to make it even more secure? Or is there something else? Or do we just keep it simple? Just the paper ballots. Either way, share with us. Let us know what you think. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, WLRN Sundial. Still to come, imagine you're a teacher. What if you could have a way to know how your students are feeling before classes start? We'll explain that coming up next on Sundial here on WLRN.